Our sermon today is based on a reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 29 to 32. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him, Jesus, in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Thank you, God, for calling us together to be a family of faith in anticipation of our worship of you in the heavenly realm. Over these past few weeks, we've been looking at our mottos and mission statements. I was heartened and encouraged last week by your enthusiastic reaction to our perusal of the motto we have on our doors and elsewhere, being, seeking, and making disciples. That one's a keeper. I got the distinct feeling that you are ready to be, to seek, and to make disciples. I got the feeling that you were glad to be reminded of our mission and our raison d'etre. I got the feeling that you are ready and willing to live up to these statements that we have made about what we believe God is calling us to do as First Christian Church Ruidoso. I confess I was not impressed by the statement on our website, but we also have a statement that we print each week in our bulletins. You can read it along with me. We are First Christian Church, an open, inclusive, Christ-centered family of faith. I like this one. I like the emphasis on openness and inclusion. In the scriptures we've heard today, definitely openness and inclusion is the theme, especially the reading from Revelation 7, which happens to be my favorite scripture of all. I love the dream it promotes, a dream of all of God's people from all over the world, every nation and tribe and language gathering to put aside their differences at last and focus on the one thing that binds us together, a love for and our devotion to God. For once, the focus is not on the things that separate us, but on the one who draws us together to make us one with him. My deepest wish is that we wouldn't wait till eternity to make this scene a reality. I wish we could get our act together and make it happen now. I got a glimpse of the possibility once when I went on a woman-to-woman trip to China in 2012. Did I ever show you my PowerPoint from that trip? Oh, well, I'll have to do that. While in China, our group of disciples women visited a Bible printing press that was celebrating the production of its 1,000,000th Bible. Before we took a tour of the plant, we gathered to hear prayers and see presentations from various dignitaries. And at one point during the ceremony, all of us attendees stood together and sang, "Give me the Bible," in our own languages. Asians, Africans, Americans, Europeans, standing together praising God's word, just like in the scripture from Revelation, just like a family. I like the emphasis on family in our bulletin motto. Family, as we all well know, isn't always just the people related to you by blood. When we come together for a common cause and under a common umbrella, willing to uplift and support one another despite our differences, when we come together to share our worship and our work and our witness for the Lord, when we gather around the communion table and partake of the bread and the cup without turning anyone away, that's when we're most like the family of God. I chose the scripture from Luke for today because I like the picture it paints and the challenge it presents. Levi, the tax collector, had just accepted Jesus' invitation to come and follow him. He was so impressed and so enamored that he hosted a banquet for Jesus and his own co-workers. Tax collectors were not the most welcome people in that society. More often than not, they overcharged people and pocketed some of the money for themselves. People considered tax collectors untrustworthy, and they were also seen as traitors to their own people because they worked in cahoots with the Roman oppressors. They would have been called sellouts by people today. And yet there was Jesus sitting with a bunch of them, drinking with them, eating with them, laughing and talking with them, sharing a meal with someone meant you accepted them. Sharing a meal with someone meant you wanted to be friends with them. So for the Pharisees and their scribes, it was an insult that someone who was presented to the world as a dignified rabbi, as even a Messiah, someone like that should stoop so low to eat with people like them, like those scumbag tax collectors. To the Pharisees, you were not only what you ate, and boy, did they take dietary restrictions to an extreme, you were also who you ate with. The Pharisees would never have disgraced themselves by eating with tax collectors and people they considered sinners, people who were way less religious and righteous than they were. Some of their whole unholy filthiness might rub off on them, and they couldn't let that happen. But the Pharisees had some nerve to complain about who Levi served in his own house. They snarkily complained to Jesus' disciple, not to Jesus himself. They didn't dare confront him face to face. But Jesus somehow heard their complaint and admonished them, telling, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That made them scoff all the more because the Pharisees didn't consider themselves sinners. They didn't see that they were the ones in need of a healer, in need of the great physician who had come to heal all the sin-sick souls. The Pharisees didn't believe they were sick, which only goes to show that indeed they were sick, and indeed they needed Jesus as much as anyone else, if not more. Because of their holier-than-thou attitude, do you hear a hint of envy and resentment in their complaint about who had been invited to Levi's feast? Did they secretly wish they had been invited too? It's sad to realize the invitation had been extended to them, but they chose to ignore it. It's sad to realize that if they had truly wanted to be part of the banquet honoring Jesus, Jesus most definitely would have welcomed them in. Jesus would have fed them and healed them, but they were too caught up in their own righteousness and their own egos to humble themselves and accept Jesus' open invitation. Everyone was invited, even them. The door was open to everyone, even them. I imagine some of the people at the banquet were so excited and eager to participate, not so much because of the food, but because of the welcome they received. They were not always invited to gatherings and not often made to feel welcome. Rather, they were shunned and judged because of their line of work. But now, here they were. They had a place at the table, finally. No more standing on the outside looking in, no more feeling left out and pushed aside. This man Jesus, who had taken Levi in, was now reaching out to them too, making them feel welcome and wanted too. Jesus had a knack for doing that. He deliberately sought out people who never felt they were part of things, who never felt accepted, welcomed, loved. He made them part of a new family. For Jesus, no one was on the outside. For Jesus, no one was unworthy of his touch, his attention, his love. For Jesus, no one was excluded. So in the spirit of Jesus, we, First Christian Church Ruidoso, seek to welcome into our midst those who may have previously felt ostracized and marginalized. And you know why we do this? Because we've been there ourselves. We know what it's like to be ignored and pushed aside. But having found acceptance and grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, we have decided we never want anyone else to feel that way. Being accepted and welcomed and loved by Jesus does not make us arrogant, or at least it shouldn't. Being accepted and welcomed and loved by Jesus should make us humble, grateful, and determined that everyone we meet should be able to feel his acceptance, his welcome, and his love through us. It's not something we hoard for ourselves and refuse to bestow on others, as though Jesus didn't have enough love for everyone, as if when Jesus loves someone else, we are somehow diminished or shortchanged. Jesus does not divide his love, he multiplies it. At this beautiful, bountiful banquet, there was food enough for everyone. There was drink enough for everyone. There was room enough for everyone. Jesus' love isn't compacted and confined. He has room enough for everyone, everyone in his kingdom. All they need to do is accept his invitation. And since our church is an extension on earth of the heavenly realm, there is room enough for everyone, everyone here, especially those who may not feel welcome elsewhere because of where they're from or what they've done or who they love. We are here for people whose families of origin may not be accepting of them, or may have even kicked them out. As part of God's family, we know better than to try to send anyone away who has come to God's throne in search of love and acceptance and forgiveness and mercy, in search of Jesus, who promises to heal all our heart wounds and soul scars and make us whole again. Jesus told the frowning Pharisees, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do." And Jesus is the physician who heals us. This ties in with a thought whirling in the back of my mind about what else we are called to do here. I believe we are here to nurture everyone's spiritual as well as their mental and physical health and well-being. We've hosted lifeline screenings and blood drives. We've started hosting a Tai Chi class. We used to host Strong Bones, remember? What if we took it up a notch and offered ourselves as a place for people to learn more about living healthily, physically, mentally, spiritually? We have some nurses among us. What if we taught a class in CPR or did regular blood pressure screenings or had regular health fairs for the community or classes on different aspects of health? What if we reached out to young people struggling with all the drivel and drama that tests their mental capacities? What if we became a safe haven for them to learn that Jesus wants to walk with them, even through the difficult, dark days? We did all these kinds of things in the name of the great physician who is still soothing our past hurts and traumas with his gentle touch. We would truly be a place of health and well-being. We would truly be a welcoming, including, inspiring family of God, a family that says, "Come on in, there's room for many and more," just like the thousands upon thousands of vast, innumerable multitude in God's realm of love and light. All sharing, all invited, all welcomed, all singing together blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. I do so long to see this come to pass. Couldn't it start right here, right now? Let it start right here, right now. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the vision of the future, when all your children will gather before your throne and sing never-ending praise to you. But in the meantime, God, help us to be a place of welcome and rest and healing, of love and light and acceptance, a place where people can come and find Jesus Christ, the great physician of the soul, and learn how to let his love and his light restore, renew, and refresh them.